We welcome you this evening. This is the first of our summer series. Brother Greg, we had been talked about it. We was trying to get it last summer, but it was just too late to we need to get it going. But this summer we want to do it. So for the summer month starting the 26th of this month, running through September. Each Wednesday night, we will come in the auditorium and we'll have one of our different brothers who will be speaking to us and communicating with us from God's Word. Paul gave Timothy a charge in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. He said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ, in Jesus Christ. And the things that you've heard among me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to other faithful men who will also be able to teach others." So the job of the elders and the evangelists here is to make sure that we prepare brethren here that are here to be able to teach other those faithful men to be able to so they can teach others. And so this is not only just helping Newport News, but we're helping the kingdom of God. Because with these young brothers are here, just like Brother Brian, he's moving to another place. We never know where these brothers are going to be at and what position, what churches they might be a part of. And they need to be ready to work. They need to be ready to stand in the gap as necessary in God's kingdom. And so this is just a part of us training to give these brothers opportunity to prepare themselves to be able to stand in the pulpit. And not only this, we're going to be doing a lot of other things with the brothers that are here, helping them to get ready from everything from baptism, taking responses, preaching, all the way around so they can help here at Newport News. But if there's someplace else, they can still be instrumental in God's kingdom. So tonight we get to hear our first of our brethren, Brother Brian. We expedited him a little bit to accommodate his schedule. We were excited to have him come up and to speak to us. He's a fine young brother that's been grown up in and amongst us here with his family and his parents. Now he's a father, a husband, and so we're just glad to give him this opportunity to be able to stand up and speak, because going forward, we've told him, you never know where you're going to be at, so you need to be ready to be able to deliver God's word. So we're excited, and we present to you the next person that you hear is Brother Brian Haygood.
All right. Good evening. Good evening. I appreciate that introduction, Brother Craig, and that introduction might actually be longer than my lesson, so we'll see how this goes. Appreciate it. And I also appreciate you all for coming out. We got a nice looking group here today. Appreciate you wading in the water. I know the skies opened up not too long ago, so thank you again. And also I want to say thank you to the elders as well as Brother Greg for creating this platform, the summer series, for us to have some other men get up and speak and share God's word with you throughout the summer. So appreciate that. And I'm actually in the privileged position to be able to kick things off, so I'm glad to be the first person to do so. So my lesson today surrounds the topic of patience. And this is my first time in this capacity delivering the message to you all, so I'm asking to be patient with me at the same time. Yes. No tomatoes. Save those tomatoes. No, none of that. Patience is defined by dictionary.com as the quality of being patient, as the bearing of provocation, annoyance, misfortune, or pain without complaint, loss of temper, irritation, or the like. And it's translated in the Greek to ipomone. So by a show of hands, how many people here tonight would consider themselves to be patient people? The majority of the room, okay, all right. And how many folks here would say that maybe their coworkers have stolen their patience, or maybe even their children have stolen their patience by a show of hands? Also a good number. And from what I hear, I'm still new with this whole parenting thing, as I have two young toddlers, right? But I've heard that as the age of your child goes up, the level of your patience goes down. I don't know if that's true. Maybe my parents can speak on that. I don't know. Is that accurate?
Yes, sir.
Maybe when it comes to Brandon's upbringing, not mine, more so. But although not popular, in a time where we tend to want things right away, and instant gratification reigns supreme, God still demands patience of his people. Because without it, a Christian can't grow or mature in the faith. We read in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, "And to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness." And so we see that patience leads to godliness. We see in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. And so we see here that patience is one of those things that we are to actively pursue. It's not something that just happens by happenstance. We have to pursue to want to be a more patient person. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, we read, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient." So we see that patience is required to be a servant of the Lord. And so we can summarize our point by saying that patience just isn't some common courtesy that we owe each man or woman that we run into, but it's actually demanded in order to be pleasing unto God. So you may ask, how do we find patience? How do we seek patience? Let me have two readers, starting first in James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, and then we'll immediately follow that up with Romans chapter 5, verse 3.
James chapter 1, 2, and 3. "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience."
Appreciate that.
"And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience."
And so we see from both of these writings that you don't just stumble upon patience, right? That patience isn't that uneasy place in the sidewalk that you stumble upon and you're like, "Oh, there's some patience. Let me pick it up and put it in my pocket." You actually have to work at patience, right? And sometimes it can come at a cost. It can be a painful experience. And we see in those scriptures that it comes through the trying of your faith when you fall into those diverse temptations and trials and tribulations that we all face in this life. What about applying this to our lives, maybe in the workplace, right? Those workplace encounters. I don't know if you all have coworkers like mine, but I received a couple nasty emails, right? And you have one of two ways that you can respond, right? You can respond nicely, or you can respond nice nastily, right? I choose the latter. And when you do that, you produce patience, correct? There's also a situation where maybe somebody that's less qualified or less experienced receives that promotion over you. I don't know if this happened to anybody else. It's happened to me once or twice. But you feel like that you've checked off all those boxes, right? That you should be the one that should receive that particular promotion. But you can increase your patience by saying, "Hey, look, I have a means of gainful employment, right? Let's be content with that job that we have." And we can probably have a whole nother lesson on contentment. But that creates patience as well. Let's switch gears and look to an example of how Jesus exhibited patience. Let's turn to the book of Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. And we'll read about Saul of Tarsus on the way to Damascus. Can I have a reader there when you get there, please?
1 through 9?
Yes.
"And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, desired him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with me stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. He was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink."
Thank you for that reading. And so let's circle back around and think about Saul of Tarsus. Saul had a reputation that preceded him, right? He was a notorious person. Saul was one of those characters that if he was coming to your town, you'd want a heads up about it, right? You'd like to know. So you could possibly skip town and go to the next town, right? Because he was one of those ruthless persecutors of Christians. And so we see that on the road to Damascus, Jesus blinded him for being such. We also know that God ended the lives of many throughout the Bible for going against his will. The first story that comes to mind to me is in the Old Testament in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 6, when we think of Uzzah touching the Ark of the Covenant when it went to fall. He was immediately struck dead by God. We can fast forward to the New Testament with Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts chapter 5, when Ananias and Sapphira held back those proceeds from the selling of their land from God. And what happened? They were struck immediately dead by God. And so we know that it's possible for that to happen. But instead, he showed patience towards Saul and showed mercy towards Saul and used him for a greater purpose. Let's skip down and read verse 15 of Acts chapter 9.
For the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.
And so once again, we see that the Lord showed his patience with Saul and had a greater purpose for him. So let's stop right there and ask ourselves, how has the Lord been patient with us? Of course, we may be saints, right? But we still sin. We can be lazy and stubborn sometimes. Or just downright non-compliant when it comes to following God's commands. Yet and still, he gives us chances daily to right those wrongs and live as his chosen vessels, as he did for Saul. Let's also look at some areas that the Christian needs to be patient. How about being more patient in our homes? Husbands and wives must be patient with one another. We see in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 32, that neither should expect perfection from one another. Although I know my wife can expect perfection from me, right? But I'm sure she'll tell you later on that I probably made about 5 mistakes on the way here today. What about being more patient with our children? And that's one that I can immediately apply as a father of 2 small children. Often I have to remind myself that it takes a while for a child to obtain that wisdom of a mature adult. And so we need to be more patient with our children, as we see in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, that if we train up a child in the way that he is to go, he will not depart from that way when he is old. And we also see in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7, that God charged Israel to teach their children of him, which of course takes time and takes patience to offer that type of training and nurturing. What about improving your patience with soul winning? Of course, we see many examples through the book, through the Bible, of patience throughout soul winning. But a story that sticks out to me would be that of Aquila and Priscilla in the book of Acts, chapter 18, verses 24 through 28. And can I have a reader there? Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through
28. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. Fervent spirit of faith and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only about his return. And he began to speak boldly to the synagogue, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him upon himself and expounded to him the way of God more perfectly. You want to keep on?
Just in verse 28.
And he was exposed to the past and to the hell. Brother and Lord,
and so let's go ahead and recap that story there. So here we have Apollos, a disciple of Christ, that was preaching in the synagogue, but he was preaching the baptism of John and not the baptism of Christ. Both Aquila and Priscilla were in his presence and hearing this error. Instead of calling him out in public, they decided to pull him aside and say, hey, look, brother, let's teach you the law of God more perfectly and more complete, which is the method that we are instructed that we can find in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. And it reads, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And so we see, in fact, that Aquila and Priscilla used this approach with Apollos. They were both patient and humble when it came to correcting his ways. So in conclusion, we've learned that patience isn't easy to come by. Sometimes it can be painful, a painful experience where you have to endure those trials and those tribulations. But God is always patient with us, and he demands us to be patient with others. So if you're here tonight and are walking in sin and require the prayers of the church or are seeking salvation, we encourage you to come forward now and put Christ on in baptism as we stand for the song of invitation.